Good evening, everyone, and a good Erev Pesach to one and all. This is a perfect time for having shiurim and discussion about Pesach because it's not that close to the day that we're in complete panic mode. It's just a little bit before that kind of intense sense of, oh no, it's almost Yom Tov comes upon us. So thank you all. Thank you, Rabbi Trump, for setting up the shiurim, and to Yehudis Eisenberg and the office for setting up the Zoom and for guiding us to be able to know how to get in and get together, if remotely, but it's wonderful to see everyone and to be with you tonight to talk about the Makos, the 10 plagues, the Eser Makos. We look at this entire process and even talk about it on the night of Pesach as being something very similar to the process of giving birth. It was, after all, the birth of the nation. Am Yisrael was born on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We talk about it, therefore, at the Seder, the way you talk about a newborn baby, about all of the frailties and the fragility of the situation that the baby is in. But let's be honest, when a new baby born to mommy and daddy comes out into the world, who else do we talk about? Talk about the mommy. You talk about all that which she went through in order to give birth to that little baby. You talk about some of what might have happened, and maybe sometimes it didn't go all that smoothly. And sometimes it might have involved surgical procedures and a cesarean section, a bloody birth. Well, guess what? If you ask the Egyptians to describe how the Jewish nation was born, and we talk about it in the Torah, Oh Hanisa Lukim Lakachas Goy Mikerev Goy, one nation ripped out of, literally ripped out of the womb of another nation. Goy Mikerev Goy. So you'd ask the Egyptians what it felt like, they would certainly tell you that it was a bloody birth. It wasn't an easy delivery. The Jewish people were born with a great deal of trauma that affected the mother that gave birth to us, if you will. And the Makos really are that process in which Mitzrayim just had to concede that this baby will come out. But again, because of the stubbornness of the Pharaoh and those who followed him, it was with a great deal of pain. What was the divine plan? What was it that God wanted with all of that pain? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hakol Yachol, he could have just said, out. And in a moment, B'nai Yisrael are sprung free. But no. A long and difficult and for the Mitzrayim painful process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah addresses it. And if you will, he does so with concentric circles. There are purposes within a greater purpose, for which reason the Makos had to unfold, and that our coming out, God's extricating us from Egypt, had to be with a tremendous amount of pain. In the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, V'yedatem ki ani Hashem. You, Jewish people, have to know. You're going to see that I am Hashem. Through the process of the Makos, you'll see my hegemony, you'll see my power universally. We'll talk about that. But it's for the sake of the Jewish people who are being born as a nation to understand and know who, what is God Almighty. It's the beginning of the process of becoming his people, culminating 7 weeks later with the giving of Torah at Sinai. Then there's the wider circle. There's the nation that, so to speak, hosted us until we were born as a distinct nation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Mitzrayim to know. V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. That Mitzrayim has to know where the initial response of the Pharaoh was, Mi Hashem Asher Esh Me'alav, who's God that I should listen to him? Who is this Yudke Vavke? I don't know. I never heard of him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to hear about me. I'm going to let you know. Nothing ever lets you know so much as a crying baby or a baby being born. You'll know. You'll feel it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Mitzrayim, you're going to feel it. I'm going to let you know through the birth of the nation from within you, out will come my people, B'ni B'chori Yisrael, and it's going to be in a process that will make you very, very aware of me and what and who I, God, am all about. Then there's another wider circle, and that is Ulaman Saper Shmi B'chol Haaretz. The widest circle is so that who and what I am, the idea of the one God, will be known with renown, b'chol haaretz, universally. So it's first for the Jewish people to know, for the Egyptians to know, and then for it to be told and known universally. So that means that everything that's happening in all of the Esamakos is not to punish the Egyptians so much as it is for the entire world to know and understand that there is one great omnipotent God. How do the Makos and these specific 10 Makos relate that message? How do they give that over? So I'm going to share a screen now. We're going to consider how the Maharal teaches what it is that the Makos, all 10 Makos, do to convey the truth of Leman Saper Shmi B'chol Aretz, that there's a one universal God of all of what was created, all of the universe, and that it's all there in the 10 Makos. I hope that you're able to see the screen now.
Yes.
And we're looking at a segment of the Gevuras Hashem of the Maharal, where the Maharal posits that if we look at one of the sentences which we recite at the Seder, Rabbi Yehuda Hayanosen Behem Simonim Ditzach Adash Ba'achav, we understand through that a number of things. Most importantly, that there are distinct areas where the Makos affect the environment through which the people in Mitzrayim, again, the Jewish people, the Egyptians, and the world come to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reigns over all of creation. Because there are three segments, there are three places in the universe, if you will. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make very, very clear, especially to a pagan world, to a world that does not understand, that does not comprehend, that does not wrap its head and mind around the idea of a one universal God that is everywhere, that the one omniscient, ubiquitous God created and continues to manage the universe. It's impossible for them to understand it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to say, Detzach, I am in there where you walk. I am there on the earth and in the water beneath the earth. Adash, I am upon the earth, there where in the few feet above earth, people walk, animals roam. It is my realm. That is mine. That is what I have created. That is where I hold sway. And then, if you will, beyond the area in which we all live and play, Ba'achav, in the higher realms, in the heavens, in the atmosphere, even beyond the physical realm, life itself, the very soul breathed into man, they are all mine. They are mine because I've created them. They are mine because I sustain them from one moment to the next. And so the Maharal says, the Tzach Adash Be'achav is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing and explaining, teaching that he is the one universal God. Laman Saper Shmi B'chol Aretz. So we'll take a look at how Shekol Makos Harishonos Beseder Echad. There are three that are here on earth, literally the dust and earth beneath our feet and the water on the ground, in the ground, Vahashnios. Then you have the second order, Adash, Arov Dever Shchin. They are Beseder Echad, they are in one unit, B'chein Shalosh Makos Achronos, and then the last three, and Makos Becharos. And so he says, B'hinei HaMetzius HaEretz V'Hamayim V'Chol HaTachtonim Zehu Metzius Echad. That the ground, the earth, and all that is contained within it, that's one level, one arena of existence of creation. Ad chalal ha'olam, until the air, the space above the ground, shehu mumutza, which is between aretz and shemai, between earth and heaven, zehu mitzius sheni, that's where adash, that's where arov, dever, and shchin affected man, where those plagues struck the Egyptians. And then Hashemayim asher heim lemal mechalal haolam hu metzius shlishi. The third level, the third literally place of existence, the third realm is upper atmosphere, heavens above, and even metaphysically the souls of man themselves. And so, skipping ahead a little bit, he explains, so lefichach yesh seder miyuchad. So that's why there is the unit of Dam, Svardeya, and Kinim. Because after all, they are all about that which is on earth. They are that which we walk upon, Kinim, created from the dust beneath our feet. The Dam, the water, the Svardeya, creatures that you can't see, they're in the water, beneath the surface of the earth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they're mine. They will or they will not do as I wish, as I desire. They're of my creation, of my design, and of my purpose. And then, of course, you have the same in the case of what walks on earth. You have Adash, Arov, the mixed multitude of animals, of wild creatures roaming the earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, they're mine. What they do, whether they are wild, whether they are bestial, whether they are going to or not going to attack, they're mine. Dever, the health and well-being of your flocks, your sheep, your flocks that roam, that graze, they're mine. They're of my creation. How they will fare and whether you will or will not have them, they are mine. That is for me to decide. And if they are struck, God forbid, with dever, you will learn, you will understand. It is because that realm, the realm of things that walk upon the earth, they are mine. And similarly, of course, when man was struck with shchin, with boils. So the realm of adash is not the ground, or the water and what's beneath the ground, but what walks within and above ground, within the atmosphere, within our living space on earth. And then finally, the last three, what's above. Barad, fire and water in hailstones raining down from the heavens. Arba, the locusts blown in from afar, by the winds of the atmosphere. And of course, darkness. The lights of the great celestial bodies. No sun, no moon, no light, darkness. it almost reminds us of a state before HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yihi Or, before he even said, let there be light. And then, of course, most metaphysically, most removed from the physical realm of creation, the souls of life itself, Makas Bechoros, the soul that comes from the highest place, it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So, as the Maral says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is explaining to us, to the Egyptians, and to all of the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reigns throughout what we would say is the lowest realm, the realm in which we walk the earth and live in ourselves, and then above us, he reigns in the highest realm just as well. That's the message of the Makos. And then in this final segment here on the left-hand side of the page, Maral very brilliantly points out that in the first instance, in the case of Dam, Moshe was told to respectfully greet the Pharaoh, but not necessarily intrude upon him in his palace and let him know that this Makkah is heading his way. In the second case, in Tzvardea, he was already going to bring the message into the Pharaoh. And in the third case, in Kinim, the plague smites the Egyptians without forewarning. And this repeats itself again, as it so unfolded in the Tzach, it so unfolds again in Adash, that in this middle realm, first the Arov is that which he has the Pharaoh informed, but not intruding upon the Pharaoh. Dever is with the Pharaoh being told that it's going to come, and he's told in his palace, he's forewarned, and then Shechin without warning. And again, this is how Ba'achav, how Barad Arba Choshech unfold in the same way. Because in each instance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to show you that I am the Moshel, that I'm the one with power. But I'll let you try to see this without me forcing you to see it. And the cycle is one that repeats itself because, as we have said, there are three distinct realms in which the Almighty is saying, it is me, it is I. Here, what's below us, here, and what's above us. Now, all of this is so very, very important because it indicates that something about the Ten Makos relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the creator of the world and relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu having a purpose for this world. That's what the Sfas Emes we're going to look at right now is really all about. And that is because it's no accident that Makos number 10, whatever number is 10, means you have completion, you have a unit, you have fullness. And so he quotes Mori Vizikni, he quotes his grandfather, the Chidush Yerim, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir of Gur, who of course taught famously that the Asara Ma'amaros, Shabahem Nivra Ha'olam, that the 10 expressions of God's will through which he created the world are not just in tandem with or have a parallel with 10 Makos and then Aseres HaDibros, but the Chiddush Yerim explains that it is only through the process of the 10 Makos that the Jewish people and indeed that the world arrives at Chag Shavuos upon and then receives Aseres HaDibros. That is, that the idea of the fullness of the world being created And then the purpose of God being fulfilled later, 26 generations later, through the Aseres Hadibros, it needs something in the middle. It requires a process of bringing out the good Dibros and setting aside and having that which is the dross of evil and the potential for God's will to cause man to reject, chas v'shalom, what it is God wants, to not fulfill the purpose of creation, such that creation itself turns on man, and even, in the case of the Makos, punishes man. That there is a negative quality, that there is a tragic circumstance. Here, below us, below our feet, water can turn to blood if it's so deserved because of man's evil. That from water can come these frogs that won't allow us to live. That from the very dust beneath our feet will come lice instead of life. And then, again, in the middle realm, the wild animals, the plague that will strike the flocks, the boils on our skin, all of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has naturally created with Asara Mamaros, if we don't correctly use it as guided by the Aseres HaDibros, then that potential within nature for things to go wrong, if you will, for evil to have to be addressed, that's what the Eser Makos are all about. And the way the Sfas Emes presents it here is that, as we say every morning, everything that we learn in Torah has a klal, a rule. There are these rules of exegesis through which we derive Torah knowledge. The process of the world itself also involves similarly that kind of step by step by step process. And he says, if you will, that there is a klal uprat uklal, where we have something that's all encompassing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world in the Asara Mamaros, Shebehem Nivra Ha'olam. But in those Asara Mamaros, with all of the fullness of everything in the universe, there's also the potential for man to make mistakes, to be chote, meaning to use things in incorrect fashion, and then for that to have to be addressed. The prat is that which in nature can and will do as Hashem wishes to address the mistakes, the errant ways of man. The prat are those individual areas of what's, again, beneath our feet, in our environment, and even in the heavens above us, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and now befrat, in the case of the Eser Makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us how we have to bring out only the good in creation, take advantage of the possibilities and the promises in all of creation, lest we cause creation itself to have a negative effect or for it to turn on us as it did in the case of the 10 plagues, the Eser Makos. Then, with that improvement, we go back to the klal. It's a klal, prat, uklal. And the general, again, sense of the purpose of the world, sense of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, what his design and will for it, what his directions for us, and what his directive for mankind, led by Am Yisrael, will be, the Aseres HaDibros. And so let's look at these words here. This is from the Sfas Emes of Shnas Tuf Reish Lamin Hei, 1875. In that year on Pesach, he spoke about what his illustrious grandfather, the Chidush Yerim, had taught. that it's not just, so to speak, happenstance that the 10 Mamaros, with the creation of the world, parallel the Aseres Hadibros, which parallel in the middle the Eser Makos. It's that the Eser Makos are that which allowed the separation of the Tov and the Ra, the purification process, so that all that is good about what we are supposed to do with and for the sake of Hashem's will in the world. The good of Aseres Hadibros had to have the Ra of Eser Makos and the Ra of what man, in this case Mitzrayim, could do in contravention of Hashem's will and design, brought out, set aside, removed, so the purification process would bring all of the Tov of the Aseres Hadibros to the fore. So he here quotes his illustrious grandfather in his, the Sfas Emes's words, V'lochein, Nechleku achakach hasara ma'amaros. You have individual 10 ma'amaros of creation broken down, and the good to come separated from the potential of all that's negative in the klal, v'nifritu tzad hara, that which is so negative, because man in his errant ways could cause that nature, again, as we've said through the words of the Maral, what we walk upon the earth, the area we live in, the space we live in, and the heavens above, all potentially turned on us because we turned on them. V'nifritu tzad hara ha'eser makos lo rishayim. The prat takes out and separates that possibility for all that could go and shouldn't, but will go wrong because of us if we are errant, leaving finally the hatov, leaving finally all that is so good, aseres hadibros shehu beprat, bringing out the aseres hadibros from within the asara mamaros, because the asara mamaros create a vast universe, and all of that which is good about it needs the Aseres Hadibros. But the Aseres Hadibros need to have first that which is, so to speak, the negative set aside, so that the purification process of the will of Hashem, Dibros, come to expression. And of course, there's a huge difference between Mamar and Dibur. The Mamar is an expression that's very wide, and that's not necessarily directed to an individual. Dibros are meant not only to Am Yisrael, but also to lead the Jewish people. In the next words, which I did not necessarily highlight, he says, V'dibur lashon hanhaga. As the Zohar HaKadosh says about V'dibartabam, as we say in the Pasuk, Yadber amim tachtenu ul'umim tachas raglenu. Leading is Dibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads us and wants us to lead mankind with the Aseres Hadibros. But in order to do so, he has to show the world through Eser Makos that it is he who has created the world with Asara Mamaros, wants and has a specific design for this world that he insists upon, and that he will relate to us and teach us when we come to Sinai. But he also tells us that if we are in contravention of what his design and will for the world is, we have to know that there will be redress. And that's Eser Makos. So we have in these few words just shared a broad view, a big view of the bigger purpose of the Makos and the message of the Makos to Am Yisrael, to Mitzrayim, and universally, Laman Sabra Shmi B'chal Aretz, to all of the world. And in the nights to come, we're going to hear about the very unique and special way that each Makkah expressed the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connected the past, the Asara Mamaros, to their present, what was then happening in Mitzrayim, for the purpose of Sinai, bringing us to Matan Torah and the Aseres Hadibros. Thank you again all for being with us this evening. enjoy your Sedarim and have a wonderful Chag Pesach. Hopefully we'll see you well, and between now and then, a guten Tamid.